Good morning and welcome back to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I'm Ken Tuck. Glad to have you with us today. I hope your Sunday is going well and that you're ready for a new week. I know you're not ready to think about the new week yet, but it's coming. I hope you're enjoying your day. And last week, if you were with us, we had Pastor Ralph Sigler from Harvest Church, and we are now having part two with Pastor Ralph Sigler from Harvest Church. We're talking about Dothan should be a hard place to get to hell from. Yeah. And so we started talking about strategies last week, and we'll continue that this week. And before we do, Pastor Ralph, would you open us up in prayer?
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you for what you've done in our lives and for just your love for people, for the people you've created, your desire to give us life in all its fullness. And we thank you for your love for Dothan and the surrounding region and for every person here. And we just ask, Lord, that you would equip us in every way for all you're calling us to reach our region for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, last week we talked a lot about why Dothan should be a hard place to get to hell from. And we talked about how the body of Christ needs to be active, needs to be praying. That was the foundation. Yeah. When we started talking about strategies, that prayer is so important to a move of God. Any move of God that we read about, it did start with prayer.
And then we
started talking about testimonies and how your testimony, even if you think you don't have one, you have one.
Because when
we give our lives to Jesus, we have eternal life and opportunity to follow him and be saved from wrath of God.
That's right.
And so whether we were a prodigal son or not, we all have a testimony to share. One thing that we always teach folks here about their testimonies is there's three parts. And because people think, well, a testimony is so hard to talk about. Well, it's really not if you narrow it down. And we also encourage folks just to write down a page.
Yeah.
Because usually you don't have much time to talk with people. Unless you're in a coffee house, got a really good cup of coffee, and you got a little more time. But usually you only have a few minutes. But it's, what was our life like before Christ? How, when did we come to Christ? What was going on, and how did we come to Jesus? And then life after Christ.
Yeah.
And we encourage folks, don't spend a lot of time on before, explain what life was like, but show how you came to Christ and that transformation that's taken place in your life now. And so sharing our testimony isn't really that hard.
That's right.
We just need to encourage folks to do that.
So
testimonies. There's different testimonies, right? Because there's that testimony that I just talked about, but then there's testimonies of certain times in your life when God did stuff.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people who met Christ at a very early age can relate to people who didn't, because they've had times where they drifted away, and all of the awareness of not being in good standing with God, or separated, or maybe avoiding God some, and then the change when we really yield to him and he begins to move in our life. The powerful thing about testimony is it's your story.
Right.
It's what happened. It's not just talking ideas. It's what happened to you. And people tend to relate to personal stories, tend to say, well, if that happened to him, maybe that can happen. Maybe that's what I need to look toward. Yeah, so I think that's kind of course, I also had mentioned last week inviting people to church or where they can experience the presence of God. But I do think us personally sharing, you know, knowing our testimony and being willing to share it is really, really important. And I think, you know, many of us have had the experience of being so excited about what God's done in our lives that we just naturally started sharing with people. For me, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, suddenly I went from being completely afraid to talk about Jesus, and it took just working up my courage to say anything to people, to suddenly naturally starting to share with people, and some of them started coming, giving their lives to Christ when I did that. But I think if you've kind of moved into a time where you aren't sharing, or maybe you've bought that lie that you're not good at witnessing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mentioned last week that we have an enemy who I think has been really effective in convincing Christians that they're not good at witnessing. And I think most Christians in America think that they're not good at it. And if he can convince us of that, we're going to be very hesitant to do it. But the truth is, the Word says we are his witnesses, we are his ambassadors, we are called to the Great Commission, and he equips us for whatever he calls us to, which means if we're in Christ, he's equipping us, and we've got to stand on that. But I think if we've drifted into a time where we're not sharing much, it also is effective to set goals, to just say, you know, I'm gonna invite so many people in a week or month. I'm going to share my testimony at least this many times in this period of time. I'm going to intentionally use some questions to get into conversation. I'm going to share with somebody the reasons for the hope within me, the reasons I follow Jesus. I think, you know, having goals, what I really am envisioning is hundreds of people who set goals of these different types of evangelism each week or each month. And so I think one thing is, as we do it, we get better at it. Right. As we do it, we get more comfortable with it. As we do it and we see God moving, that this isn't just us out there on our own. You know, there's a promise that Jesus was talking about possible persecution, but he said, when they deliver you up, don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. It's going to be given to you. Well, same principle. When we step out, he gives us words. He directs us if we'll rely on him. So I think as we see him coming through too, we begin to get more comfortable with it. But I think when we talk about making it hard to get to hell from Dothan and Enterprise and Ozark and the area, I can see a couple of things. One is as people who are not following find themselves constantly being invited, constantly hearing stories, constantly being asked, hopefully, penetrating questions, hearing other people's why they follow, then I think that's going to have an impact. I know we've had a lot of people who've come to church who've said, well, you know, I had three different people invite me to this church, and they kind of catch on that maybe God wants me. So I think that's part of it. I think the other part is, and I believe they'll go together, As we're stepping out, as we're developing that passion for people, and as we're praying, we'll see an increased outpouring of the presence of God outside of the churches.
Right.
Where people start having that encounter and they know something's real here. And then where they begin to get an awareness of God's love for them and their need and conviction. And our prayer is that every person in this region, couple hundred thousand people, are going to have that happen to them. And we believe when they do, many, many of them are going to become followers. I think another level of that, too, is going to be that conviction and that encounter for church people. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned last week, one of the things we've identified in the kind of the old-timers following Jesus in this region who've followed him passionately for decades, as we've asked them, what are the big barriers in this area, they've consistently identified greed and religious spirit. And that is, I do certain things and I'm all right with God. And for many of us, it's I go to church, right. Or I give to the church. I prayed the prayer back when I was a teenager. But they're not following now. And I think when they're seeing all these people actively following, and then they're having that encounter with the presence of God, you know, when you do that, you all of a sudden, you know, this it's more than this. It's life. Right. It's relationship. It's abiding in Christ. He's called us to abundant life. And it is abundant. You know, sometimes I think people hear, you start talking about, okay, we're going to set goals for, and if the life is not there, that just becomes a bunch of work.
Right.
You know, oh, you mean to everything else in my schedule, now I've got to invite a certain number of people to church and share my testimony so many times. Well, you know, I'd say if that's the way it feels, don't do it.
Yeah.
But when the life of Jesus is there and you're in obedience and you're doing what you're made for, the life of Jesus and the joy increases.
Right.
And so you get in that flow of his presence and abiding in him, and there's joy. His yoke is easy, his burden is light.
Yes.
And there's rest for our souls in him. In the presence of God, there's joy. There are very few things more that produce more joy than seeing people you pray for and have developed a love for responding to Jesus, and you being a key part of that.
Right. Right. It's very humbling. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And there's really, there's no words to see that. It just brings tears to your eyes too, tears of
yeah.
joy. And you hit on a lot of great stuff right there. The whole part of following Jesus is, and the more you do it, the more you fall in love.
Yeah.
And then all this that we're talking about, even the goals and everything, it just becomes a way of life.
Yeah.
It's not a certain outreach that I have to do. It's not a certain church event that I have to do.
Yeah.
It's not a church service I have to go to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do these things because I realize what Christ has done for me.
Yeah.
And I want to live with him. I want to experience
yeah.
him in his fullness. And then one day I'm going to see him.
That's right.
In his
right.
fullness and in all glory. And so it's just that love that continues to grow for him as we experience him more, and the testimony about being filled with the Spirit, that's a very powerful testimony to share with folks too, because
yes.
you know, Jesus tells us very clearly this is not an easy road.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't shy away from that, but
yeah.
he also doesn't shy away with, but you can do it because I'm going to give you the power to do it.
That's right.
And we read about Peter in front of the Sanhedrin right after the Pentecost, and how the people who put Jesus on the cross, he had the boldness at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier we saw him running and hiding
yeah.
and denying Christ. And then when he saw the risen Savior, he totally changed and the Spirit of God filled him. And we can tell people that story and that's impactful. But if they have no idea who Peter was or who Jesus really is or the Holy Spirit, it won't have as much of an effect as when you say
yeah.
your personal testimony about how, you know, I really didn't do much, but man, when God filled me with his Spirit,
yeah.
This boldness came on, and I love sharing Jesus with people. That's impactful.
Yeah, it is.
We've talked about prayer. We talked about inviting people to church, which that is so key too, because when Martha and I first moved to Dothan, we were very involved in Enterprise, but we're in Dothan now. We need to be involved in a church here, and we moved Love and Action here to Dothan, and we were looking for a church to mm-hmm. call home. You know, nobody invited us to a church.
Mm.
We talked with one guy, and he told us how great his church was,
and
it really is a good church, a really good church, and we got a lot of friends there. But you know, he never invited us.
Mm.
I told Martha, maybe he doesn't want the editor of the Eagle there, because I was the editor of the Eagle at that time. That wasn't the case. He was just so excited about his church
mm-hmm.
that he just didn't think about inviting us. But then Danny and Lisa Lewis. Danny was a colleague at that time
yeah.
and members of Harvest, and Danny said, why don't y'all come to Harvest
right.
and give it a
right.
try? So
uh-huh.
that's why we came to Harvest
yeah.
was because we were invited.
Yeah.
And you've been stuck with us ever since.
Yeah. yeah. Well, you know, if you know God's moving at your church, get them there.
Right.
And if he's not, you start working to be sure God's moving at your
right,
church.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can do something about that.
That's right. Don't just sit there and complain. Do something.
That's right. That's
but
right.
but yeah, so you know, that's so important. Our testimonies, as we've been talking about, is so important to share with people.
Yeah.
What are some other strategies that we can employ to see that Dothan, the Wiregrass, will be a hard place to get the help from.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we pray for the people that we put on our list
right.
daily, and we pray for the move of the Holy Spirit because. But the other is, you know, we're witnesses. He's called us, and I think ongoing relationships with people who aren't following Jesus is very important. I mentioned last week that sometimes after we follow Jesus for a number of years, we can get to where all of our associates are followers of Christ, and we've got to be in those places, put ourselves in places, and it's not that hard to do,
no.
Where we have ongoing relationships. Because one of the things we've found is people who are not following are really not interested most of the time, but all of them are interested at sometimes.
Right.
And it's usually when there's change in their life, when there's change going on. You know, right now, whenever there's a high-profile death like Kobe Bryant,
right,
everybody talking about it. When somebody that they know personally, when there's a divorce, when there's a difficulty, when there's some kind of trial, when people are going through financial problems, if you're close enough to them that you know that kind of thing. It's not just problems, though. Sometimes it's a new job. Sometimes it's a move. Change usually opens the doors of people's life. So we want to know, you know, if we were in a relationship, we're there. I had a friend, a guy in the church, who was just telling me about a coworker who was really concerned about, heard somebody made some comment concerning Kobe Bryant's death that you know, God took him, you know, and he was having a real problem with that. Why did God take him when he has these kids? He knew he was in relationship enough with this other guy to say it was really bothering his feelings toward God. And so they spent some time together and were able to talk about, you know, that God is not the author of death. And yeah, God intercedes sometime and death is still in the world, but kind of talked through things. And at the end of the conversation, the guy said, well, I feel a whole lot better about God. I think those steps are really important. I think another thing is questions. And you can just put some questions together like, I think we need some light questions and we need some serious questions. Questions like, what do you think your purpose in life is? Mm. What's the main thing you want to get out of life? Just asking people, do you go to church? Do you experience God when you go? Have you ever had a personal encounter with Christ? What do you think happens after we die? Do you ever feel the presence of God? Do you feel like he's ever spoken to you? Do you feel like he's ever saved your life? That's an important one because almost everybody I know has had an experience, if they're adults, if they've reached adulthood, where they believe God intervened and saved their lives.
Right. Right.
So those questions that can get you in a conversation and get people thinking, I think, are really, really important. And then as I think, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. It's worth sitting down and writing out some points. 1, 2, 3, 4. Why do I follow Jesus? Why do I think other people should follow Jesus? I mean, you can get going with a long, long list because the benefits are amazing.
Yes.
But we need to know them. We need to be ready. You know, it's a good thing to be able to say, you know, I follow Jesus because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
You know, these are the reasons. And then I think it's important to be ready to invite people. You know, sometimes you talk about how the goodness of God in your life. And it's pretty important to say, you know, have you experienced that? Do you want that?
Yeah.
Because some of us would be surprised at how many people would say, well, yeah, I want that.
Right.
I mean, if you really have joy in your life, if you're really at peace, and I can't find peace, if you found some keys to dealing with fear and worry in your life, I need those keys. It's amazing how often people will say, well, yeah. And by the way, I think another thing is we need to learn to be quick to pray with people.
Yes.
Even if it's not about salvation.
Right.
Yet. Very few people will turn down prayer. And suddenly you're taking them maybe about a challenge at work or a challenge at school or about the health issue in their family. But suddenly you're taking them into the presence of God with you, and your relationship has just moved to a more intimate level spiritually because of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you stop to pray with somebody, it means something to them because it shows that you care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like me, if I say, well, Ralph, I'll pray for you, and we part ways, mm-hmm. I don't intentionally forget. It's gone. So it's also important to go ahead and pray right then and there, not only to encourage that person, but to make sure I'm lifting that need up to the Lord. And there's so many ways of doing that. And one thing that I really enjoyed doing, and I actually learned this from my late brother, Rick Denny, when you go into a restaurant and the waiter brings out food, wait till they put the food down, and ask them if they want to join in the prayer.
Yeah.
And the first time you do it, you may be a little nervous about doing it, mm-hmm. but do it because, and then ask them if they have a prayer request.
Yeah.
Martha and I have done that many times. And I remember one time I was in Atlanta, Georgia. We were at a Promise Keepers conference, actually. And we went to a Hard Rock Cafe. And one of the guys in the group was gave me a little trouble for picking Hard Rock Cafe, but I was like, dude, they have food and they have people who need Jesus in there too, so let's go eat. And we went in there and we started talking with this waitress, and we prayed for a need and started talking more about Jesus. And before we left that restaurant, she was on her knees praying to receive Jesus as her Savior and Lord. And then we kept following up with her, and she got involved in the church. But just a simple, would you like to join us in prayer, and do you have a prayer need, can lead to salvation.
That's right.
And so that's very powerful when we stop and pray with people.
And you know, you can do that all over the place. You can do that at your doctor's appointment with your doctor and the nurses. Anything I can be praying for you about.
Right.
Which, you know, may kind of shock people initially. They'll hope pretty soon around here it's not going to shock people.
Right.
But, you know, most people have something, and if it's appropriate, you can stop and pray, well, let me pray for you right now.
Yeah.
Or can I pray for you right now?
Right.
You can do that at the beginning or end of your golf game. I know for some people that takes a lot of boldness, but others not. But
they may need to pray for different reasons at the end of a golf game, too.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And if you do it at the beginning, you want to be sure you behave.
Right, that's right.
If you pray and then you throw your club across the fairway, that may do a little, not help a whole lot. But, you know, we can do it with the groups of people we meet with, wherever we are, when you go to get your coffee. I mean, there's just all kind of opportunities, if you will. Can I pray for you? And if you're not quite as comfortable yet, you might just first say, anything I can be praying for you about, and just say, okay, I'm going to pray for that when I leave.
Right.
But I think when we start stepping out, we start asking for the Spirit of God to fill us and move through us, the boldness increases, and it really starts getting to be fun.
Yes, it does. It really is.
And you know you're doing what you're here to do.
Right.
And I think so many people, anytime in church I start talking about what are you here to do, it's like everybody's attention moves to another level. Hmm. People want to know, why am I on earth? What am I supposed to be doing? And I want to be sure I do it. And listen, for every one of us, part of what we're here to do is to be light.
Hmm.
Represent Jesus.
Right. That's right.
To be his witnesses. Rick Warren who said, when you talk about the purposes of life, every one of them we're going to do better in heaven, except one.
Right.
We're going to have better worship. We're going to have better fellowship. We're going to be more like Christ. We're going to have we're going to know him better. But the one thing is witnessing, we're not going to be able to do there. The time will be ended. Summer is over.
Yeah.
And the harvest is ended. So a lot of the reason we're still here, I mean, the word says, you know, why has Jesus not come back yet? He's not willing that any should perish. He's not slow, as we count slow, you know, time, but he's been patient, not willing that any should perish. The word says that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. And when it says we need to speed its coming, I think that's what it is. We speed its coming by getting the gospel to the whole world. So a primary reason every listener is on earth is to do this.
Right.
And I tell you, once you have that breakthrough in doing it, you'll find joy in it. And you know you're doing what God put you here to do.
Yes.
Now, there's other things too, but this is a primary part. This is the one we can only do in this age while we're here.
Right. And you've said many times over the years that Jesus is real life.
Yeah.
And so when you step into Jesus, that's where real life begins.
Absolutely.
And you're right, this is the greatest life. I know how life was without Jesus.
Yeah.
Even though it's becoming a distant memory, thank God. But the nothing compares to life with Christ, and the excitement, the love, the life, the grace, the mercy that we experience.
Yeah.
To see God just do things that we never guessed that he would do, and there always comes times where we think, wow, God, you really blew my mind there. It'll be hard to beat that one. But then God is God, and he blows our minds again. So the people who are listening who are, maybe you're searching or you're kind of, I don't really know. Look, it's not, you know, all the thou shalt nots.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us life.
That's right.
And life abundantly, as he tells us.
That's right.
And it truly is the most exciting life. And when you see more people who are excited about Christ like this, then people are going to be drawn more, you know, like you mentioned, as people continue to move out and live the life that God's called us to live.
Yeah, and if you've followed, but it's kind of grown stale and you've gotten stagnant, get around those people who are excited about following Jesus.
That's right.
And let them help renew or take you on to some new things in Christ. You mentioned Jesus, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly or in all its fullness. John wrote in the New Testament, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. There's a spiritual element that only comes alive in Jesus, and it is that life that's truly life.
Right.
Apart from that, we can find a lot of emptiness in going through the motions. But the great thing is it's life on a different level with Him. When we see Him face to face, it's going to another level.
Yes. We can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I heard somebody recently say, you always hear people refer to the afterlife.
Hmm.
But that's the real life.
That's the real life.
We're in the pre-life right now.
That's right.
So it's good in Him. It's going to get better. And that doesn't mean everything's easy. We're in the battles and there's trials.
Right.
But when we know that, everything's different in life.
And we know that He tells us that He's always with us.
Yeah.
He never leaves us nor forsakes us.
And
those are more testimonies we share with people of things that we go through, that God was with us and carried us through. And you always think that I'm the only one going through this, but you're not. Others have.
Yeah.
And God has pulled us through the fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we can share that testimony with others, too.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you just reminded me. My mom left this life right before Christmas, followed Jesus. Like I said, met the Lord when she was 4.
Wow.
And stayed basically true to that her whole life. And she was 93.
Mm.
A little sadness, but more joy.
Right.
About. And one of the neatest things my wife posted, and I saw it on Facebook, she didn't show it to me ahead of time, but there's a picture I've always loved from my mom being in college, and it's her walking down, my mom was a very beautiful woman, walking down the steps of her dorm, and my father, this is when they were dating, is waiting at the bottom of the steps. And what Rhonda, my wife, captioned was, this picture, 1948, Dad Sigler waiting for Mom Sigler to take her to a college banquet at Asbury College. Now he's escorting her into heaven.
Yes.
And I tell you, the images of them being whole again, mm-hmm. with no infirmities physically, and the joy, the things they're experiencing every time I think of that, it just brings delight.
Yes.
And most people don't have that about themselves,
right.
but all of us can have it about ourselves.
Right.
And that's one of the things we can share. What are the reasons? One of the reasons is He has a great eternity planned, where there's no more effect of sin, where there's no suffering, bodies don't wear out anymore, and don't miss it.
Right. Definitely don't miss it. And the word of in Romans tells us to, if we confess Jesus as our Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And mm-hmm. so if you have any questions, feel free to contact us, ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com, 334-494-4995. But you can just call out to Jesus yourself and just ask Him to forgive you and then get plugged in with folks who are living for Christ. Harvest Church is a great place to go. Go check them out and check out this series Pastor Ralph is teaching this month. But just get plugged in to Jesus. Pastor Ralph, thank you again for joining us the past 2 weeks. And we look forward to seeing God move more and more in the city of Dothan and throughout the Wiregrass.
Amen.